an Osho talk. The great Zen master, Ta Hui, reflections on the transformation of an intellectual to enlightenment. Number 24.
The inescapable. Whenever you run into something inescapable amidst the hubbub, you've been examining yourself constantly, but without applying the effort to meditate. This very inescapability itself is meditation. If you go further and apply effort to examine yourself, you're even further away. Right when you're in something inescapable, do not bestir your mind and think of examining yourself. The patriarch said, when discrimination doesn't arise, the light of emptiness shines by itself. Again, Layman Pang said, in daily activities, without discrimination, I alone naturally harmonize, not grasping or rejecting anywhere, not going with or going against. Who considers crimson and purple honorable? There's not a speck of dust in the mountains. Spiritual powers and wondrous functioning, hauling water and carrying firewood. Just when you can't escape, suddenly you get rid of the cloth bag of illusion, and without being aware of it, you'll be clapping your hands and laughing loudly.
The inescapable. It is one of the most significant problems for every meditator. There are things which will disappear as your meditation deepens. All that is false will be gone. All that is illusory will no longer exist. All that you have projected, expected, or dreamt will have no reality, but still there will be something left which is not your dream, which is not your projection, which is not the creation of your mind. This is called the inescapable. In other words, the real will remain. only the false will be gone. And the meditator has to learn two things. First, to be capable of, powerful enough, so that he can allow the false to disappear. But this is not the great problem. Because every day morning when you wake up, you allow the dreams to disappear. You don't hanker for them, however sweet they may have been. You don't even think about them. Just within 2-3 seconds, you start forgetting. After a few minutes, it is as if they had not existed at all. You don't cry, because in dream somebody died. And you don't feel very sad, because in your dream you got bankrupt. Whatever has happened in the dream, the moment you wake up becomes meaningless. So the false, known as false, is immediately no longer a problem. Now another problem arises, which is far bigger, far more profound. The real remains. And up to now, because you were lost into the illusory, you were not aware of the real. Suddenly you become aware of the real. Now you have to come to terms with the real. The world remains outside, the same world, the same people. Although your projections will not be there, you are thinking somebody immensely beautiful, somebody, a great wise man, somebody as the most religious person. If these were your projections, they will disappear. But the person whom you were thinking as beautiful or religious or enlightened will remain. Now you will have to cope with his reality. And the only way to cope with reality is create a tremendous harmony with the real. You cannot avoid it. It is inescapable. There is no way to disperse it. That which was dispersible, you have dispersed. Almost 90% of your world would have disappeared. And 90% is your projection. But the 10% is not your projection. And you have to be with it in total harmony. And Tahui makes a very remarkable statement. Because ordinarily, to be in harmony means to go with, not to go against. But Tahui makes harmony something far more deeper, neither to go with nor to go against. Because even with going with, there is some reluctance. You are still thinking yourself separate, that I am going with the current. I am no more fighting with the current. But you are there, and your very being is a resistance. The very idea that I am going with the current is enough disturbance in harmony. Tahui is making an immensely important point. And only a man who has come to experience can make that statement. Otherwise, it is very simple. Ask anybody to go with means to be in harmony. And to go against is to be in discord. But Tahui says, even to go with is a discard, very subtle, very hidden, but you are keeping yourself separate. Real harmony is neither to go with nor to go against. Let reality possess you. Just be overwhelmed by that which is inescapable, and you will find immense peace. These sutras are important on the path for every meditator. Whenever you are into something inescapable, amidst the hubbub, you have been examining yourself constantly, but without applying effort to meditate. The first point your meditation has to be without any effort on your part. Because all effort is of the mind. And mind has no way reaching to meditation. So if you are making some effort, your very effort is the barrier to reach to the space you want to reach. Meditation is simply a pure understanding that if you can watch the mind without making any effort, and remember, watching is not an effort. Watching is your natural capacity. Effort is something that you have to do. Watching is something that you don't have to do. It is already there. You have never looked at it. It is your very breathing, it is your very heartbeat. Tahui is saying that meditation has to be without any effort, and that is an agreed point amongst all the meditators of the world. Effort will disturb, stir, and bring the mind in. So, no meditation if the effort is there, only mind. No effort, no mind. And an spontaneous awareness that is not your work. You simply discover it as your intrinsic nature. So this is the first thing about meditation. And the second thing he wants to remind you is that your meditation should not be something put aside 1 hour every day in the morning, or as Mohammedans do, 5 times a day. And different religions have different special times for meditation. But the idea of having a special time for meditation means the remaining time you will remain non-meditative. And 1 hour meditation and 23 hours of non-meditation, do you think there is any hope that meditation will win in the end? Those 23 hours will wash out anything that you think you are doing in meditation. Secondly, a man who is 23 hours in a non-meditative state, how he can suddenly become meditative for 1 hour? It is not possible. It is like a sick man, 23 hours sick, and suddenly for 1 hour becomes perfectly healthy, and then again sick. As if it is in his own hands, that whenever he decides that it is time to be healthy, he becomes healthy, and when the time comes to be sick, he becomes sick. Meditation is your inner health. 23 hours sick, spiritually sick, full of anger, hate, jealousy, competition, violence, and then suddenly for 1 hour, you become a Gautam Buddha. How can you manage it? This is not possible. All the religions have been deceiving people. Because people want to have something spiritual, they have given it to all. 1 hour, do this, and you are doing meditation. But they have not looked at the psychology of it. It is just not in the nature of things. You cannot do it this way. Either you have to be meditative 24 hours or you have to be non-meditative 24 hours. The choice is yours. But you cannot divide your life into two parts. That in the temple you will be meditative and in the shop, in the office, you will be non-meditative. Gautam Buddha and the people who have understood him down the centuries insist on a meditation that goes with every action, with anything you do. It follows you like a shadow. It runs within your consciousness like an undercurrent. You may be in the market, you may be in the temple, you may be anywhere. Your inner silence remains undisturbed, unperturbed. This is the only true meditation. So first, no effort has to be made, but only understanding has to be awakened. If anger is there, watch. Don't make any effort to push it away. Just remain a spectator. As if it is not your business to be involved. If hate is there, watch. And these are very thin clouds. If you can remain just watchful, within minutes they will be gone. They will be gone on their own account. Don't push them. Because the more you push them, the more you accept their reality. The more you push them, the more you fall to their standards. The more you push them, they have a strange habit. Have you seen in insects, you throw away the insect, it will immediately turn and run towards you. Very strange ideas. The whole world is available, but it will not go anywhere else. It takes the challenge that who are you? any small insect, any cockroach, just throw it away and watch what happens. It comes immediately back with tremendous force. The same is the situation with your mind. In fact, the mind of the cockroaches and the mind you have are not very much different. Their basic structure is the same. They have a little small miniature mind. You have a little bigger. But they have the same capacities as you have. Scientists have been very much puzzled that wherever man is found, cockroaches are always found. Or vice versa. Wherever cockroaches are found, man is always found. They are the ancient most colleagues in existence. They have simply never lived separately. Man is thought to be capable of adapting to any situation, cold, heat, rain. The cockroaches have the same capacity. Even when the man went to the moon, in the rocket cockroaches were found. They could not believe that this is a strange fate, that you are going to the moon and you are well prepared. They had long training and the cockroaches were going without any training. But they managed. They came back with the people in the same rocket without any training. They proved far more superior. No training, and they managed a situation which no cockroach before them has ever managed. You don't realize the situation is very new. No gravitation. Cockroaches were flying. And the men were at least having belts to their seats. But the cockroaches has no belts. So they were just, for the first time, flying cockroaches. And they were not puzzled with the non-gravitation. They lost all weight. But this did not make any fuss about it. And on the moon, there is no oxygen. And the cockroaches managed perfectly well. They have a miniature mind. But the same model as man has. The moment you make any effort to throw away your mental stuff, it simply runs back. You can try it. Just sit for 5 minutes and try not to think of the monkeys and then see what happens. All the monkeys of the world will become interested in you. And you have not even told them. You are just sitting in your room with the idea that I am not to think about the monkeys, that's enough. It has been broadcasted to all the monkeys. And whatever you do, they will be there. Till you say, now 5 minutes are over. Now if you want, you can remain. If you don't want to remain, it is up to you. I am no more interested. They will be gone. But if you want them to go, that is against their pride. Every single thought, every single emotion, feeling has its own ego, it seems. That's why people who try to fight with them get defeated. Don't fight. Just watch. If they are there, there is no harm. Anger cannot do any harm unless you become identified with it. Then you may do something which can be harmful to somebody. Anger itself cannot do anything. It is absolutely impotent, just an idea. Let it be there. And watch joyfully and see how long it can last without your support. It won't last even for a few minutes. It will be gone. Meditation has to be only a watchfulness. Then it is possible to have it 24 hours. Even while going to sleep, be watchful. To the last moment, when you see that now sleep is taking over me, the darkness goes on growing, the body is relaxing, and the point comes when suddenly from wakefulness you move into sleep. Watch up to that moment. And the first thing in the morning, as you become aware that the sleep is finished, immediately start watching. And soon you will be able to watch even while you are asleep. The watchfulness will become a lamp that goes on burning day and night inside you. This is the only authentic meditation. All else that has been told in the name of meditation are simply toys to play with, to deceive yourself that you are doing something spiritual. With this meditation, you will come across the inescapable. Everything illusory will disappear, but everything in existence is not illusory. That which is not illusory is inescapable. What you are going to do with the inescapable? Perhaps you have never thought about it. This very inescapability itself is meditation. If you go on watching even the inescapable, you will be able to see clearly that which disappears by watching is illusory. That which becomes even more clear, more crystal clear, which was before hidden behind the cloud of your illusory dreams, desires, now it stands absolutely clear. Tahui is saying this very inescapability itself is meditation. The moment you see that this is the real, there is no question to be with it or to go against it. The real is vast, immense. In fact, we are simply dew drops in the ocean of the real. There is no question of us going with it or not going with it. Watching silently, you will see a deep harmony arising between you and the real. So meditation does two works. One, it destroys the unreal, and the second, it creates a harmony with the real. If you go further and apply effort to examine yourself, you are even further away. There is no need to go further. You have come to the place where merger can happen. Going further is dangerous. You may start again from the back door, bringing thoughts, projections, all that you have rejected from the front door will start entering from the back door. It is necessary to remember that the moment you come across something which becomes clear in meditation, more truer, more solid, then it is time to allow harmony to happen. There is no need to think about it, what to do. Neither you have to think about the false, because the false disappears with meditation. Neither you have to think about the real, because the real becomes so crystal clear, so certain, so categorical, that there is no doubt in you. So there is no need to go on. It is time, the right moment, to allow the merger to happen. Right when you are in something inescapable, do not be still your mind and think of examining yourself, because that will be going backwards. The patriarch said, when discrimination does not arise, the light of emptiness shines by itself. So don't stir the mind again. Don't start thinking whether it is real or unreal. Don't bring the discrimination again, because with discrimination comes the mind back. You simply remember the symptoms. That which is unreal will be immediately gone, just like dreams go. In the morning when you wake up, in the sleep you may have been sleeping in a palace. When you wake up, of course, the palace is not there. Just your old poor house. The unreal has disappeared, and the real is clear, which was completely forgotten because of the unreal. When you were in the palace, you had not even thought about what happened to the house. It was completely covered by the illusory. Once you see the real, then just remember one thing. Bodhidharma says, when discrimination does not arise, the light of emptiness shines by itself. Just wait. Don't start stirring your mind again, which is your old habit. And there is every possibility you may have the temptation to be stir your mind. If you don't stir your mind, the light of emptiness shines by itself. Layman Pang said, and he has said tremendously beautiful things, in daily activities, without discrimination, I alone naturally harmonize. Not grasping or rejecting anywhere, not going with or going against, who considers crimson and purple honorable. There is not a speck of dust in the mountains. Spiritual powers and wonders functioning, hauling water and carrying firewood. Each sentence is significant of Layman Pang. in daily activities without discrimination, just remaining silent and doing whatever is needed to be done. I alone naturally harmonize. Because there is no discrimination, there is no barrier to prevent one from harmonizing. Carrying water or chopping wood or cooking food . There is no mind between the activity and your consciousness. A totally new kind of activity arises, that of harmony. You act in harmony. And it does not matter what kind of activity. One of the great dancers, Nijinsky, was asked by scientists again and again that we cannot believe how do you manage, because his dance was a miracle. When he will come to his peak of dancing, he will take such long jumps which are not possible according to gravitation. Even the people who compete in Olympics for long jumps cannot jump the way Nijinsky used to jump. He goes so high that it is simply not possible, according to science, looking at his weight and the force of gravity, one can only jump so long. Not more than that. There is a certain limit. But he broke all the records. This was the first problem for the scientists, and the second was even more difficult. Because when things fall, they fall with a speed. Gravitation pulls things fast. You see in the night, you call the star is falling. Stars don't fall. Stars too big. If they fall, we would have been finished long before. Our planet is so small that even if a star passes by without hitting us, we will be finished. Just its heat will be enough to burn everything that is alive. What goes on falling, and it is not a small number. Every day, 24 hours around the earth, at least 6,000 stars fall. They are not stars, they are small stones. And these stones happened because some time back, near about 2 million years back, it is conceived by scientists that a great star has passed by the side of the earth, and because of its passing, it pulled out the moon. The moon is part of the earth, but its gravitation was such that the Pacific Ocean exists. Once it was filled by the material that makes now the moon. It was pulled, the star went, because the star goes with the speed of light, but it pulled a great chunk which became the moon. But when such a great chunk is pulled out of the earth, millions of small pieces of earth also went into the sky beyond the 200 miles scope of gravitation. Those millions of pieces of stone and earth are still roaming around in the space. Whenever by chance they come close and fall within the limit of gravitation, that is, if they come close enough to 200 miles, then earth immediately pulls them back. But the force they are pulled back is such that the heat of friction with air burns them. You see them burning with light. It is just the friction of the speed they are falling and the air. Most of them finish in the air, they never reach the earth. Few manage to reach if they are big enough. They are a different kind of stone because they have lived in the space out of the earth's gravitation. For 2 million years, they have developed different characteristics. In Mecca, what the Mohammedans worship as Kaaba, it is a big stone that has fallen from the sky. Those stones can be known, they have grown a different characteristic to themselves. They are called steroids. So whenever a thing falls, it falls with great speed. But Nijinsky used to fall back just like a feather, wavering, coming slowly, this way and that, not in a direct line pulled by the gravitation. This was almost magic. And Nijinsky was not able to answer, because it was not something that he was doing. And finally he accepted that whenever I have tried to do it, I have failed. whenever I forget completely myself, whenever the dancer is forgotten and the dance alone remains, it happens. Not only you are surprised, I am surprised, because I have not done it. I was not anymore, only the dance was there. A meditator naturally harmonizes. All his activities are a kind of dance. He is one with them. Carrying water, he is not separate from the water he is carrying. Chopping wood, he is not separate. He is simply chopping. Each action is no more of the old quality where you were the doer. Now the doer is gone. Only the doing is left. And because only the doing is left, the dancer is no more. Only the dance is left, and there arises a natural harmony. Not grasping. And although it is tremendously blissful, but no desire comes to grasp it. No fear that I may lose it. One is so filled and is so aware that it is natural, there is no need to grasp it. It is your own nature. You grasp other things. You don't have to grasp your own nature. Not grasping or rejecting anywhere. Not going with or going against. All these questions of for and against belong to the mind. When the mind is no more there, you are neither for nor against. You are simply there. And a natural harmonizing happens. It is not your doing. Who considers crimson and purple honorable? Pang is a Buddhist, just as Bodhidharma is a Buddhist, and Ta Hui is a Buddhist. And in Buddhism, the color purple and crimson are traditionally accepted as holy colors. Pang is saying, who considers crimson and purple honorable? There is not a speck of dust in the mountains. All that could prevent your vision, all that could prevent your clarity, exists no more. Not even a speck of dust in all the mountains. And who cares what is holy and what is unholy? Because the mind that used to discriminate is no more there. Spiritual powers and wondrous functionings are no more different than hauling water and carrying firewood. So whether you are worshipping in the temple or carrying firewood, it is all the same. Because both are done in a deep harmony and meditativeness. Both have the same fragrance and the same music and the same dance. Just when you can't escape, suddenly you get rid of the cloth bag of illusion, and without being aware of it, you will be clapping your hands and laughing loudly. He is saying that the moment somebody becomes enlightened, just when you can't escape, just when you are so one with reality, there is no escape. When you cannot find any separation from the ocean of existence, suddenly you get rid of the cloth bag of illusion. You are only separated with a cloth bag, and that too is illusory. It is just an idea. And without being aware of it, you will be clapping. And you will not be aware what you are doing. You will be clapping your hands and laughing loudly. I will tell you a small story to explain it. Two monks, the master and the disciple, are passing through a forest. And it is getting late, they have lost their way. And the old man, the master, was continuously asking how long it will take to reach to any village. It is dangerous to remain in this dark night in this wild forest. There are wild animals. And he is continuously clutching his bag. The young man, his disciple, is a little bit concerned. What has happened to the old man? Because never before, many times they have lost their way, and many times they had to stay in the forest. He was never afraid of wild animals. He is not afraid of death either. It is something new. And why he goes on clutching his bag again and again, and it seems he tries to feel something in the bag. Finally, the sun is setting, and they stop on a well. Just to take a little shower, wash their bodies. They are full of dirt. The whole day they have been walking. And they have something to eat, before the sun sets. He gave the bag to the disciple and told him, be careful of it. This too was new. He has given that bag many times in their wanderings, but he has never said, be careful. So he said, yes, I will be careful. And he looked inside the bag and he found two bricks of solid gold. He said, now I can understand what is the problem. When the old man was washing his body, he threw those two gold bricks into a ditch thousands of feet down and placed two stones almost of the similar weight in the bag. The old man finished his bath quickly, and the first thing he did, he said, give me the bag. He took the bag, felt the weight, was satisfied. They ate their supper, and then by that time the sun was down, they moved. But still there was no sign of any village close by. And the old man was very much worried. After 2 miles from the well, the young man said, now, master, drop the worry. The old man said, what do you mean, drop the worry? What worry? He said, in fact, I have dropped your worries near the well in a ditch. The old man immediately opened his bag and took out those two stones. He said, my God, you have thrown those two stone bricks? He said, yes, because they were making you for the first time afraid. And the most miraculous thing is that for 2 miles, although there was nothing to be afraid, still you were afraid. Just the illusion that there are golden bricks in the bag is enough to be afraid. And he was continuously touching the bag and feeling. All our illusions our friendship, our family, our society, our money, our power, they all disappear suddenly. The moment you see there is no escape, now the dewdrop has fallen into the ocean. And in this moment, without your thinking, you start clapping and a loud laughter explodes from your being. That I am the ocean, and I have been thinking up to now that I am the dewdrop. And feeling unnecessarily worried that if I, by some accident, fall into the ocean, that will be my death. Now, falling into the ocean, I have found just the opposite. It is my eternal life. It is time for the dewdrop to clap its hands and have a good laughter. Anyone who has become enlightened, the first right act is to clap and have a good laughter. Even without becoming enlightened, if you can to do it, who knows? You may become enlightened. Just give it a try.